Hi, I'm Allie McDowell, and I am grateful to be here with CMDA today. I serve as an endocrine surgeon at Indiana University. When I was asked, how has CMDA impacted me, I came up with calling, community, and encouragement. So in terms of calling, from a very young age, I felt God really calling me into the medical field. Through CMDA, I learned that this calling was not just to a career or a vocation. It was a calling into ministry. And CMDA taught me over the years many ways to share Christ with my colleagues and with my patients. The second thing was community. I joined CMDA as a first-year medical student, and through this group, God gave me a tremendous gift of community. The relationships I built through CMDA have really sustained me throughout my training. And CMDA also taught me the importance of being intentional about building and cultivating relationships through Jesus' model of discipleship. And this has led to many opportunities to mentor students and other trainees, as well as to gain mentorship from many wise Christ followers in medicine that have gone before me. And then finally, encouragement. Through God's word and through the CMDA community in which He's placed me, I've been continuously challenged really to just dive further into scripture. And I've learned to place my trust in the Lord and to bank on His promises and depend solely on Him and to live by His grace. So CMDA has really impacted me in so many ways over the years, but to break it down, it includes a calling, a community, and encouragement. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you for joining me today on CMDA Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and I want to thank Dr. Allie McDowell for sharing her CMDA story. I hope that you've been encouraged to hear in June how the Lord has used CMDA in the lives of just a few of our 18,000 plus members, including a young graduate member like Allie. Well, if you've been listening recently to CMDA Matters, you know that raising additional financial support in the month of June is vital to CMDA and its ministry. If you've already given, thank you, not only for your generous gift, but for your patience as we ask others to support life-changing ministries for and to Christian healthcare professionals. Like many ministries, CMDA's fiscal year will end on June 30th. With the exception of December, this month is typically our best for gifts to the ministry of changing hearts in healthcare. As a faith ministry, finishing our financial year strong prepares us to confidently pursue opportunities the Lord will give us in the ministry year ahead. I'm excited about the continued growth of CMDA's campus and community ministries, our work in Washington, as well as many of the 50 states, the HHS right of conscience lawsuit in a New York appeals court right now, the hope of seeing our global health outreach and medical education international teams returning to healthcare and spiritual care engagement on foreign soil, as well as many other ministry plans we have for the upcoming new ministry year. Without a strong finish in June, our capacity to take on new ministry opportunities is diminished. That is why I have been so passionate and persistent in asking for your help in June. It's not too late to give your best gift of the year. You can give online at cmda.org/donate or just call our stewardship team at 888-230-2637 for help in making your gift today. And thank you, because this really matters to CMDA. You know, depression influences so many Americans in one way or another, especially those of us in healthcare. My guest today is Dr. Jennifer Harris, one of the authors of a new CMDA published book entitled Downcast: Biblical and Medical Hope for Depression. we start our conversation about the effects of COVID-19 on mental health and her practice of psychiatry in Boston, and then jump into a discussion of how she and her co-authors decided it was time to give us a comprehensive look at depression in 2020 from a distinctly Christian mental health professional and biblical perspective. I welcome you now to listen in on my conversation with Dr. Jennifer Harris. Well, I am delighted to welcome to CMDA Matters Dr. Jennifer Harris, who is a board-certified outpatient psychiatrist at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. She's also an instructor in psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. She graduated from Stanford University and earned her MD at the University of Texas Southwestern and was trained in psychiatry at both the University of Texas Southwestern and Cambridge Health Alliance Harvard Medical School. She's written and taught on the subjects of trauma, spirituality, cross-cultural issues, psychiatric nosology. Wow, maybe sometime in this interview I can figure out, we can be told what that is, and ethics, psychotherapy, and medical education. She lives in Boston with her husband and three children. Dr. Harris, welcome to CMDA Matters.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you're in Boston, and I've read a few articles about in the early days of the pandemic, at least for the U.S., that there was some meetings and a big outbreak there. So how's COVID-19 impacted your psychiatric practice in Boston in the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think you're referring to the Biogen meeting that was thought to have seeded a lot of the coronavirus across the country. Yeah, you know, it's definitely been interesting to be in one of the hot spots for coronavirus. You know, I think we're very fortunate here to have a lot of top-tier hospital systems and that can manage the burden of COVID-19 here. But, you know, it's certainly been a very different world. Personally, I'm doing just entirely telepsychiatry, seeing all my patients via Zoom or on the telephone, which I'm sure a lot of other listeners are doing the same. You know, a lot of patients are struggling. From a mental health perspective, there's a lot of patients who are having severe anxiety and severe depression and struggling with these symptoms, even if they didn't really have issues with this before. You know, it's been challenging to care for this side of it. Of course, it's different than being someone who's working directly with COVID patients and struggling to care for people that way. But on the mental health end, it's interesting to see what COVID-19 has really brought up in people. I think one of the things that's very interesting is, from a secular mental health perspective, a lot of what I'm hearing in terms of advice is to focus on things like mindfulness, things like being in the present moments and, you know, take deep breaths and to do things like connect with people and keep routines, which is all good advice. But I think what's really missing from all this is the central questions of meaning and sort of existential fear that COVID-19 really brings up. You know, questions about fear of death, questions about, you know, perhaps they had all these plans that have suddenly all evaporated just with this pandemic. Those are questions that I think secular mental health doesn't have the answers to give to people. You know, what do people turn to for hope? How do people think about death and their fear of death? But I think as Christians, we are particularly equipped to really encourage people this way, to find their hope in God, to not fear death, but to find their hope in God's will for their lives and in knowing that their lives are in His hands. Those are the things that I wish I could tell all the patients that I see. And
well, I wish we could reproduce 10,000 Dr. Jennifer Harris's, now that I've heard you share as a Christian psychiatrist in Boston, for such a time as this. So 16 years ago, CMDA with authors Dr. Harold Koenig, who's your co-author on your new book, and David Beeble published a book entitled New Light on Depression. And it was new light at that time, but things change in medicine, and they seem to change quite a bit, even in 4 or 5 years, let alone 16 years. So tell us just a little bit about how you got involved and motivated with your co-authors on a new book entitled Downcast. Just talk to us briefly about the book and your co-authors.
The topic of Christianity and depression is something that I've been thinking about for several years, for many years now, and really trying to think, what does it mean as a Christian to think about mental health and depression in particular? Depression is something that not only do we see a lot in our mental health practice, but it's something that I've encountered closely in friends and family, and I've had mild bouts of it myself. So I've worked with Dr. John Petit, who's a colleague of mine at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and is one of the foremost scholars thinking about spirituality and psychiatry. And he's good friends with Harold Koenig, who is down at Duke University. The publisher at CMDA had approached Dr. Koenig asking if he'd be interested in updating the book New Light on Depression, which had been of great help to many people. And at that time, he told them that, I'm engaged in many current projects, but I would definitely like to see this happen. So he reached out to Dr. Petit, and who was likewise also already engaged in writing several books. So Dr. Petit, knowing that this was a topic that I was interested in, forwarded this request onto me, and I expressed my interest. And very fortunately, they were willing to mentor me throughout the process, and so we wrote this book together. It's a revision, quite an extensive revision of the previous book, New Light on Depression, and in it we really try to incorporate a lot more of the current medical knowledge about depression and how it works, as well as really fold in a lot of theological and biblical thinking about mental health and how to care for people, seeing that they're mind, body, and spirit, and approaching people from all those perspectives.
Did this project, did it add some things to your own understanding about depression in writing this book?
Absolutely. I think that was one of the reasons I was so interested in taking on the project, was a chance to really think through how the gospel and how faith really inform depression. One of the things that was my big takeaways was really thinking about the question of lament. Now, that's something that I think we're starting to hear a lot more in Christian circles. People are doing some writing and thinking about the topic of lamentation. And the reason why I think this is particularly relevant for depression is depression, oftentimes it's due to suffering. People have depression because they have gone through a lot of suffering in their lives, whether as children, whether as adults. And depression itself is a form of suffering. People, I think, don't often think about it as a chronic illness, but it really is, in the way that cancer is and can have its recurrences. And so people who have depression really suffer that way. So what do we do in the face of all this, of having suffered in our lives and suffering from depression? And I think the answer to that is to lament, to take that suffering to God, in the space where you might not have the answers for that suffering. You might not have the reasons for why you've suffered and why God has allowed that suffering in your life, but to take it to God in faith and to trust that He is good, even in the midst of this. I think that's a really important practice in depression. And that's one of the things that I really learned in writing this book.
I'm sure when you launched and started working on this book and the update from the book 16 years ago, none of us had any clue that COVID-19 was going to hit the globe so hard. And you point out how common depression is around the globe. And I knew it was common, Dr. Harris, but wow, these numbers, that in the past 12 months that up to 10% of Americans have experienced a major depression. I mean, those numbers are, I would think, are going to go up quite significantly because of COVID-19. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think an important thing to differentiate, however, is normal sadness and grief due to loss compared to an episode of major depressive disorder. And that's a distinction that I think is important to make, because when we don't make the distinction, we're at risk of medicalizing and pathologizing what is a normal response. And in many ways, when we think about COVID-19, it is normal to grieve, right?
Yes.
When you or your loved ones are directly affected, when you've lost someone you've loved, or perhaps you yourself have gotten sick, there's a lot to grieve there. And that itself doesn't constitute major depressive disorder. It's when you move into the realm of this grief and loss, starting to really impair your ability to function, your ability to move forward and fulfilling the role that God's given you to fulfill in your life. That's when you start to move into the diagnosis of major depressive disorder.
You devote a whole chapter to talking about myths associated with depression, Dr. Harris. One of those myths that you share is that it's pretty easy to tell when you're depressed. And I can tell you that being around a loved one who became depressed over a period of 6 to 12 months, we totally missed it together that she was depressed. And so could you talk about some other widely held myths, especially in the church, about depression?
Another myth that I think is important to address is, you know, in a church, there's often the belief that depression is a lack of faith, that people who really trust God and believe His promises, that these people won't struggle with depression. But if you look through Scripture, if you look through the Psalms, if you look at Lamentation, you see so many examples of believers, of Christians, of people throughout Scripture who have struggled with depression. You know, you have people like Jeremiah, Elijah, David has struggled with depression.
Job,
absolutely. He's the best, one of the foremost examples of someone who's really struggled with depression in the face of suffering. So clearly this is not true. It is not true that if you have enough faith that you will not experience depression. I think the reason for this is you have to keep in mind that we experience suffering in this world. It is a fallen world. We inhabit fallen bodies, and people are fallen. Relationships are broken. For all these reasons, there will be suffering. And having faith doesn't mean that you're a stoic. It doesn't mean that you kind of continue glibly in the face of all this and are unperturbed by all this. We see examples of Jesus really feeling and caring for the people around him. You know, we have Jesus weeping, for example, when his dear friend Lazarus dies, even though he knows that he will resurrect Lazarus in just a couple moments. So I think that's an important myth to address, the belief that depression is a lack of faith. Because I think what that betrays is an underlying assumption in the church that if you believe in God, that life will be good.
It's going to all turn out well, right?
That's right. It's a little bit of the health and wealth gospel, you know, that you'll be prosperous, you'll be healthy, everything will be an easy path. But that is not true. Scripture promises us trials and tribulations. It doesn't promise us an easy life. And I think when we disseminate that falsehood, that really does so many people a disservice. It does people who are depressed really a disservice, because and when they find themselves struggling with suffering, when they find themselves struggling with depression, they think, gosh, I must be a poor believer. I must not have enough faith. I must be a failure as a Christian. Mm-hmm. When in fact, that's not the case. When in fact, that's the moment where, you know, our faith is really tested. And this is the time to really turn to God. And this is how God chooses to grow people. It's through suffering.
I wanted to ask you, what does a multi-pronged approach to depression look like in 2020?
So I think a multi-pronged approach to depression really takes into account several things. It takes into account the fact that we are bodies, the fact that we are souls, the fact that we have minds, but also the fact that we are people who exist in context, who are part of a community and part of environment. So what does that mean? As body, it means considering whether there's a role for medication. But it also involves thinking about other things. For example, sleep and exercise. There's interesting research showing that exercise can be as effective for mild to moderate depression as medication or psychotherapy. And that's a very palatable strategy for many patients. Sleep is also important to address. If someone's sleep deprived or suffering from a sleep disorder, that's an easy cause of depression. The second approach is taking account people as minds. And so this involves things like counseling or psychotherapy are some easy helps to point people to. Self-help books is another strategy. Reading scripture, of course. And then considering people as spiritual beings. And what does that mean? That means that we are part of a Christian community, and we need to engage that Christian community, even if with depression, we're really tempted to withdraw from fellowship. It also means turning to God with your questions. Since depression doesn't mean loss of faith, what depression should do is really push you to God, to ask questions of Him and to really cry out to Him. And in that aspect, a pastor can be a huge benefit. And then the fourth aspect is taking account people in their context. You know, a person without a sense of purpose, without a sense of direction, is also a person with depression. And so unless we can find out ways to really give people purpose and direction, I fear that people will stay depressed. And so that might involve looking at what their job situation is. Are they involved in meaningful work? Do they have meaningful relationships? Are there other aspects of their life that are really contributing to their depression that could be helped by, say, a social worker or somebody else who can help in a practical way?
We've run out of time on CMDA Matters. Dr. Harris, I know that this book is such a comprehensive look at the issue of depression. And given the pandemic and what one New York Times columnist called that we are in the age of American despair, I think your book could not be more timely than being published and distributed in the summer of 2020 as we're struggling around the globe. So I want to encourage you and thank you for this labor of love. I pray God's blessings upon you, Dr. Harris, as you interact with your patients, and may God enlarge the territory of your ministry as a Christian in psychiatry.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chubb.
I hope that my interview with Dr. Harris gave you some fresh insight on depression. This is such an incredibly stressful time for us as Christians in healthcare, with COVID-19 cases increasing in many states right now as summer approaches. Her book, Downcast, written with Dr. Harold Koenig and Dr. John Petit, is not only a wonderful tool for healthcare professionals like you who might be caring for depressed patients, but also for pastors and church counselors, and for patients with depression, as well as their families. Another great resource for medical professionals struggling with burnout or depression is the book, Promises in the Dark, Walking with Those in Need Without Losing Heart, written by Dr. Eric McLaughlin. He's a missionary physician in Burundi, Africa. I have discovered that Eric fully understands the effects of burnout and cynicism, but he encourages his readers to persevere in God's calling to walk with those in need. We've been busy publishing at CMDA, and in fact, another new book just put out in the last 6 weeks by CMDA is by someone who gave his own impact story earlier in June at the beginning of one of these podcasts. Dr. James Avery wrote the most recent book on marijuana, an honest look at the world's most misunderstood weed. A very comprehensive and helpful treatise on marijuana, which is such a hot topic and has been culturally for the last decade. All of these resources can be purchased in our Life and Health Resources bookstore by just going to cmda.org/shop or call us toll-free 888-230-2637, and one of our staff will get one or more of these resources in the mail to you right away. I would also like to promote, because I'm very proud of, our psychiatry section of CMDA. That section strives to encourage fellowship and offer community support for Christian psychiatrists like Dr. Jennifer Harris. You can easily become a member of the psychiatry section and attend webinars or conferences and subscribe to our newsletter and blogs. To read about the psychiatry section, its purpose statement, and its beliefs, simply visit cmda.org/psychiatry, where you'll find more information. Finally, I'd like to remind you of a webinar that's going to be presented by our Center for Well-Being entitled Going to the Rock from a Hard Place, Hope and Help for the Journey. It'll take place this upcoming Saturday, June 27th, from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Speakers will include Dr. Ann Sen, Pastor Ken Jones, and then our Center for Well-Being Director, Dr. Steve Sartori. The webinar will focus on coaching attendees in responding to some of the challenges that have been brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. There will be two sessions with a short intermission to spend time with your Lord. 2 hours of CE credit will be offered from this webinar, an opportunity you don't want to miss out on. To find out more, just please visit our website under the Center for Wellbeing at cmda.org/wellbeing, or just visit our events page. Well, from Washington, D.C., if you have visited our Freedom to Care website at freedom2care.com and the coronavirus page is there, you will find news updates, videos, and the latest pandemic statistics from the CDC. One statistic in particular is rather profound on that particular page for healthcare professionals. As of the day I'm recording this, the CDC has recorded a total of nearly 72,000 COVID-19 cases among healthcare professionals and a total of 379 deaths. Can you believe it? Just above that sobering statistic on the webpage are the words of our Lord, "Greater love has no one than this, than that one lay down his life for his friends." My friends at CMDA, this is what our profession and following Christ, they're all about. Receiving God's sacrificial love for us and then giving out of ourselves in love for others. For hundreds of our colleagues during this pandemic, that has literally meant laying down their lives for their patients. So as we go about our work today, let us remember the sacrifices our colleagues have made and continue to make. And I also want to finish by reminding you of the words of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians in chapter 6 in the New Living Translation. "So let's not get tired of doing what is good," Paul said. "At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." That's it for this week. I hope that these first 6 months of podcasts have demonstrated to you that what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Lord willing, we'll see you next week.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.